What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Progressive Gentleman Podcast. As always, we're your hosts. I'm Dan.
I'm Matt.
And thank you for taking the time to nerd out about music with us. We're back with another band interview episode. We're pretty excited about this one. We got the guys from Empire Springs here, a progressive rock band out of Birmingham, Alabama. What's up, guys?
Howdy.
Do you guys want to introduce yourselves, sort of what you do for the band and all that stuff? We'll the floor is yours.
For sure. My name is Brett, and I play the bass and sing.
My name is Michael. I play guitar.
Fantastic. Thank you guys for doing this. We really appreciate it. Just jumping right into things, because why not? So the band started as a college project. Can you guys tell us a little bit about that? Sort of how that came about and the evolution and all that stuff?
Yeah, it's been an interesting trajectory. So I started the group in college. We actually went to college together. You were a year ahead of me. And we met in the university jazz band, and we weren't really like friends. We weren't not friends, but we never hung out in college, like ever one-on-one. We had like mutual friends, so we would see each other and we played in the group together. And I was at the time of like joining college, I was really into like pop punk and post-hardcore. And I remember vividly, you came up to me in the music tech lab.
You're going to ditch this. And,
yeah,
he you're going to stop straightening your hair.
Yeah, I was like, I had like the emo like, swoop, you know. And he came up to me and was like, "You're going to let go of all this punk stuff and you're going to get really into prog." And then he just walked away.
Yeah,
and that was like one of the only interactions we had.
You're going to listen to better music.
And then
pop punk is great. I really do enjoy it, but. Yeah, I do remember that as well.
So then I was in a different band, and the singer quit kind of abruptly, and so I was like, well, I guess like I've been writing songs, I can try and like step forward and be the singer of the band, and also like be the like, you know, we play my songs instead. And I think you got upset that I didn't ask you to be in the band at first.
It's just like, yeah, I was curious of like why you didn't even ask me, and it was like.
Can I ask,
am I as terrible as I've always thought at guitar? Like,
the funny thing is, on the other side of it is, I thought you wouldn't entertain the idea of playing in my band because we weren't really friends, and you were way, way better than I was.
Oh shit!
As a musician, and so I asked someone I was personally at the time closer with, and we did the band for a while as like just a studio, like just writing, like recording demos of songs I'd written, and then. We finally got to where we wanted to play live and do like, and to take the band in a different direction. It was kind of geared more towards like Circus Survive type stuff in the beginning, like post-hardcore.
I was going to ask too. I was going to say, what was that original band? Like, you know, what style of music were you guys playing?
Definitely more in the Circus Survive type stuff. Maybe with like because of the singer, like a hint more indie influence, like Young the Giant type stuff, Walk the Moon.
Nice.
And then we were still doing like kind of proggy stuff, like weirder song structures and time signatures and stuff.
You get that with like Circus Survive and stuff too, so that kind of makes sense.
Yeah. And then when Nero joined the band, it was a hard shift because I was also getting more into metal at the time. It kind of lined up perfectly. And Nero came in, and Nero has a lot of different influences than me, and that kind of pushed the band into the more progressive rock, edging on progressive metal that we have now, because I think the Contortionist is probably like our biggest consistent across the board influence between you and I.
So I just had this thought today too, listening back through your record again, just because I mean it's a great record.
Thank you.
It's honestly for me, and I almost even made a post, I probably still will make a post, for me, it's like that stopgap for like, we've been waiting for new Contortionists for how long at this point, right? And
never coming.
and your record, which we'll talk about at some point, your record almost feels like a modern, like language forward era Contortionist record to me. You can tell that's a major influence. But sorry to interrupt you guys for college project and the evolution, but I just wanted to throw that out there. So anybody listening who's just been dying for some more like contortionist, go check these guys out, because it'll definitely scratch that itch.
That's high praise. I would always say that we're a poor substitute for such a spectacular band, but thank you very much.
Of course. And I mean, we've said on this show before about like other music, how we've been like, oh, it's like great value version of something.
Kirkland brand,
exactly. Yeah. I don't feel that way about your record. I feel almost like it's a substitute or a gap fill, or honestly, it's like right in line with it, in my opinion.
It would be an awesome tour with you guys and the contortionists together.
That's the dream. I mean, that's like definitely
instrumentation wise, it's on point. From a vocal standpoint, sometimes I feel like I'm listening to Lessard at times. Like it's right there. It's on there. So
thank you.
Just wanted to interject that while we were kind of on the subject.
Yeah,
well, I appreciate that. Yeah, we're big fans. We definitely take a lot of influence from them. I feel like we're more prone to go like guitar solo-y prog than they are.
Yeah, I mean,
because we got a big JP fan.
I grew up playing, you know, learning Dream Theater songs, and that's just in my DNA at this point. So I'm not gonna let that go. So we definitely go in that direction. A lot of my phrasing, a lot of the way I write guitar parts is stuck in the 90s, and I have to like make an effort to play more modern and write more modern licks. But yeah.
It's funny because like I sort of picked up on that a little bit, like in my notes that I have randomly jotted down here. Like I feel like I wrote that I get a lot of like 90s like guitar vibes. Like,
yeah.
I even put Dream Theater down. I also get a lot of like from a metalcore standpoint, almost like that early 2000s metalcore meets like modern metalcore. So like I can see a little bit of like, and this might be random, but like that like Killswitch Engage, Bullet for My Valentine era metalcore meets like sort of modern like Currents era, August Burns Red.
Yeah,
definitely. It kind of takes you on a journey. I feel like you guys shred a little bit more, which I like.
Yeah, I try to keep up.
but I mean, really, I jotted down a bunch of bands that sort of came to mind while I was listening to your music. Contortionist was the biggest one, but I even got like Between the Buried and Me, Coheed and Cambria at times randomly. I don't know why, but that's true. Periphery, Haken. I don't know if you guys ever listened to a band called Arcane Roots.
I don't think I have.
I've heard of them.
Check them out. They're not a band anymore, so if you like them, I'm sorry. But yeah, I mean, there's just so much in your music that I feel like it takes you on a journey, I feel like, sonically, and really makes me think of so many different eras of music that I really like collections of music that do that. So, I mean, you mentioned the contortionist. Well, first of all, before we get into that, is there any more to that like evolution story there? Because we do interject a lot. So sorry about that.
No worries at all. I tend to go on tangents. I mean, from I think where I left off, we were trying to like the band was shifting. Nero had joined, and then we went through a lot of different drummers in the early phase. Like I think we've had four drummers. We're on our fourth drummer. But this is the only drummer that has recorded with us. We did some demos with a guy named Skyler, who's a fantastic drummer and still a good friend of ours. Then we had some stuff with a guy named Michael. Also, that's maybe why we started calling him Nero.
Yeah, that's what makes
there's
sense.
A bunch of Michaels.
And he did record with us.
Yeah, he also recorded some stuff that's unreleased now, thankfully. And then we tried to scrub the back catalog of that. And then we had a guy named Sam who kind of got us connected with some live like people, and then now we're on Ethan, and then we just been playing shows. I think our first show was in 2018 and we were a three piece.
Yeah,
and now we're a five piece for the live show at least. So
nice. So like
trajectory.
So from, you know, college project to just full-fledged band, like what was the point of realization for you guys that like this is something bigger than just like let's just get together and jam and write music? Like what made you feel like this is something special?
Probably when Nero said that he wanted to join.
That was the moment.
Someone else is interested in the song.
When he told you you're going to get into Prague, that was like, we're a band now.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. What about you?
I don't know exactly how to.
I remember the first
put a point in time on that. I think like we played our first show and then we really took it day by day because we had the aspiration of, hey, let's work with a better engineer. Let's get actual professional mixing. Let's write more music. And then as time went on, we just wanted to get more and more legitimate. And we found John Douglas. He worked with us and he is incredible at what he does. And I think we've just been trying to grow steadily ever since.
I think if I'm going to give a real answer, it's probably when we started on the record and I think when we got the lineup situated for who we were going to record with and who was going to like produce and mix and stuff, I think that was the first time I was like, oh, like we're working with like real like bigger names that John, the guy that engineers and produces our music, he has done stuff with The Contortionist and done stuff with
Alluvial. I think he's done some stuff with Megadeth.
Yeah, he has a huge catalog, and so I was like, wow, we're working with like for lack of a better word, we're like kind of rolling with the big boys in that regard. Like, this is a real producer.
Yeah,
I know. Like, most notably for like prog fans too, he did Language. I'm pretty sure, right? For The Contortionist,
he did not. He did the Rediscovered song.
Oh, the Rediscovered stuff. Yeah.
But still, he engineered Our Bones.
Yeah, he engineered Our Bones. Jamie King still mixed.
Jamie King did Clairvoyant too, and okay, because I knew Jamie King they were highlighting that he was doing Clairvoyant, like in a lot of their like teaser videos and stuff, So for some reason, I thought that I knew that he did something with Language. John,
he did those Rediscovered things, and
which are awesome,
also,
by the way.
Yeah, he also did their live session that just came out. He engineered that.
Nice.
Produce and mix, I think that. Let's see. We actually got to work with Eric from The Contortionist. He produced our keyboards.
Awesome.
Because they used to actually live together, John and Eric, and that's how we. I'm a little like sometimes brazen, and I just sent Eric a DM and was like, would you produce our keyboards? And he was actually super cool and did it, and then invited us down. So we spent a weekend working on the keys for the record, and then he introduced us to John while we were down there, and that's how we got hooked up with that. So that was probably the first, that's my real answer, I guess. Like, it's like, wow, we're working with the person that produces my favorite band and also a member of my favorite band.
It's so cool. Like, it's cool to be able to sort of like, not only meet your heroes, so to speak, but like work with them. That's pretty awesome. I mean, that's a great answer for sort of like, when did you come to the realization that things are going, you know, things are getting bigger or whatever, like, oh, you know, no big deal. Just got to work with people that I sort of idolize. Like,
absolutely. And they were super nice. Like, they treated us like professionally and respectfully, even though like we have no real, like, I don't know how to word this nicely towards this, but like, especially back then, we had no like real credibility or clout. Like, we didn't have any release music that was worth anything. I guess we had played a couple higher profile shows.
We had opened
for Era.
Yeah.
And that was probably the only big band we had played with at the time.
That's a good band to be able to play with
They're pretty all right, huh?
We're a big fan of their.
They're not bad. They got some good. No, I'm just kidding.
They're all right.
Yeah,
another favorite band. One of my favorite bands for sure.
Oh yeah, they're great. They're great. So I mean, and I've met Eric too. He's a really nice guy, and I've met most of those guys. Just super down to earth guys. So that's really cool. I obviously never worked with them on any sort of setting at all, so that's got to be like next level. So I would imagine, you know, and like you said, oh, we don't have any credibility, I feel like the music speaks for itself, and I also feel like when he heard some of that stuff, he was probably felt like he was looking in a mirror in some capacity.
Here's the hope. I definitely like, I do think that he probably took a chance on us. Like, I know he listened to the demos that I had, but the demos, I was not very good at recording demos back then. I've gotten a little better, but Like, I remember, I so specifically remember I had just gotten GGD for the MIDI drums, because I had been using like the stock Logic MIDI drums for all of our demos. And I was like, I gotta get GGD and like reprogram the drums before I send them to Eric, because I want it to be as like good as possible before Eric hears it. And so I was, I mean, it's very cool that he was like, heard the demos and was like down to work with us. And that's probably like it's a big turning point, I think, in the band. Mm-hmm. And we have gotten to work with them again on the new stuff that we can talk about a little later, I guess. But we've kind of kept that. It worked so well, we were like, let's just do it again, and kept the same like lineup for the most part. Like, I don't think anything really changed between.
Wait, I'm excited to get into that later.
Yeah, same. So, you know, we've mentioned a good amount of bands here for influences and stuff like that. You guys kind of said that your influences differed, especially in the beginning. I'd love to hear some of those outside of the Contortionists and some of the other ones. I mean, you can throw those out there again, but just curious.
Yeah, I think, okay, so I think if we're talking about like mutual influence, I think we both listen to a lot of Contortionists, Loathe, Thornhill, and Era are like the four big that I would associate, maybe Spirit Box too, between like both of us. And then we kind of branch out, then there's other bands. Like, I'm a big Coheed fan. I know you like Coheed, but I'm listening to them like a lot. I like Sleep Token a lot. I think you like them too.
Where's your keywork tattoo?
I don't have one yet.
No,
I have a bunch of anime tattoos, but not a tattoo yet. I'm working on it. It's on my car.
I thought for sure you were gonna have.
I know. I'm such like.
Yeah. Why don't you have one yet? You're not an actual fan.
I have one, but it would be like, it's on my back. I'd have to take my shirt off. Nobody wants to see that. So, you know. But it does exist. It does exist.
See, my whole sleeve is basically anime, or at least from here down is anime, and then I have the Attack on Titan Scout Regiment on my leg. And I want to get the keywork on my leg too, because I don't really have much more space on my arm.
Yeah, you're pretty full up there, it looks like.
Yeah, but we're gonna get there one day. I have a list of like ridiculous tattoos, and the keywork is at the top of the list. That's not ridiculous, but the other ones are. but let's see. Now I feel like I need to like flex my. I've got the comics like right here. If you bring me proof.
No, I believe you. I believe you.
Let's see. I've been listening to your fandom. I've been listening to a lot of the Rivers of Nile lately too, because they open for the Contortionists, and I'll check out pretty much anyone that they tour with. And I did not expect to enjoy the work as much as I did, because I'm not usually into like death metal or tech death quite as much. It's got to have different that prog influence, but they have that prog. And so it's like, I can't get super in like the first EPs that they put out and maybe the first record, but as soon as you get to like
Owls.
Owls and the work are like,
masterpieces.
I'm so into that, and probably like I'd say that's me.
Yeah, I'm looking at all these.
I've got Deer Hunter.
You're a big Deer Hunter.
Nice.
I mean, like all of those bands, I also enjoy very much. And if I were just to name a few other ones, like big Liquid Tension Experiment and Dream Theater fan, and that type of musicianship, I hope is influencing my playing and, you know, our sound.
I wrote Dream Theater down. I can prove it. So I mean,
exactly.
It came through.
I'm a big Periphery fan too. I listened to a lot of them when they started to release music as well. Another band that you probably don't dive deep into is Polaris. I've been listening to a lot of them lately.
Yeah. R.I.P.
Rest in peace, Ryan. Generally, like, I have to take breaks from metal. I haven't been listening to a lot of metalcore and metal lately. Mainly, it's just kind of been like indie. But
like, who?
I like Dijon a lot.
Yeah,
I like Absolutely. That's a great record. And then the Japanese House just released a new record, and it's, I mean, you love them too. So
she's great.
Yeah, Amber's excellent. But in terms of other bands that are influencing Empire Springs, I mean, I think I just kind of brought that like 90s progressive rock influence.
I think that, like, but you also like just having you in the band also made me want to write heavier music. Like, I got into BT BAM not necessarily because of you, but like definitely after meeting you.
Right.
And like, I would say that like very minorly influences some of this, especially some of the new stuff specifically. There's a couple moments that I feel like are pretty BT BAM oriented, but like,
love to hear it.
Yeah.
having like, and this is not a knock to anyone that played guitar in the band previously, but having someone that is more technically proficient and more into like shreddy stuff kind of influenced me to want to like get into that stuff and understand it a little bit. Like I had never listened to Dream Theater before I met Narrow, and I don't like listen to it often, but like I really liked Scenes from Memory, mm-hmm. 6 Degrees. I really like what is it, The Count of Tuscany, that's on Black Belt
and Silver Linings. Yeah. That's a fun song. It's really quirky.
So there's like, I definitely have tried to like learn more about the like techie shreddy side of stuff, and I really like it. Like BT BAM definitely falls in that category too, right. Although they're like frantic tech prog. I don't know, but yeah,
so like attending a circus that they're nuts. It's I love Between the Bear to Me, so I love hearing that there's
some influence there. Them tomorrow,
right? You're seeing them tomorrow.
Rivers of Nile opening, huh?
I know, I'm so excited. I cannot wait.
We just caught, you didn't get to go, Matt, but we caught them when they came through class. Pittsburgh. When they came through Pittsburgh, I caught them. It's a great show.
I'm excited.
The power went out mid show for us. Oh. Yeah, that was
Transformer
fun.
Blew.
Yeah, the Transformer blew to the venue. Good times.
Yeah, should be fun. I mean, I've never seen them play the Parallax record straight down. They rarely play many songs from that at all. So I'm excited to hear that one.
Yeah, they don't typically touch a lot on that record. So it was very cool to see it. It's gonna be fun. I felt like there was just a lot of energy too from their set. I feel like they are really into playing that material. So yes. it made for sort of just a next level. I've seen Between the Bear to Me almost 20 times now. So
ooh.
I was like, that was one of my favorite probably performances from them. I mean, seeing Colors live like in its entirety 3 times was pretty cool too, though. So
that's crazy. I wouldn't say that Parallax 2 is my favorite Between the Bear and Me record, but it's definitely the one that I have listened to the most. Like, I feel like it has the most, if you could use this word for them, easy listening factor. Like there's, I don't know, Extremophile Elite almost feels like a single despite it being like 7 minutes long. There's lots of stuff like that. Telos, Layer Ghost Arrest. Like, those are easier to listen to than stuff like Obfuscation from Miss the Record, you know, like that.
Yeah.
That's probably my favorite record, but it's hard to listen to the whole record straight down. It's like you gotta focus.
It's usually really hard for me to get people on the bandwagon of Great Misdirect being their best record. Most people say Colors or Parallax too. I'm firmly in the camp of the Great Misdirect as well.
I like Coma. I think
Coma's really good. See, and I actually would consider Coma their most accessible record in a way.
Yeah, I think. Definitely.
Do you want to?
That's the one that got me into it. Them was Coma.
We had a debate recently. You want to tell them about?
Oh, so, yeah. All right.
I love the tangents.
This is
so
relevant
much.
To you guys and your interests.
Yeah, so Narrow texted me out of the blue and said, "Here's a hot take. Juggernaut Alpha Omega is better than Parallax 1 and Parallax 2."
Whoa.
And I said,
I stand by it.
I put it up on my Instagram story, and they tied 50-50 in the votes. They each got 11 votes, and I was like, I thought Parallax was going to sweep easy.
Yeah.
Not because, like, no, hate the Periphery, but of the Periphery albums you hear people talk about, you hear people talk about P2, P1, and P3.
P2,
you never hear people talk about the Juggernaut. Yeah. And I know that's your favorite.
It's maybe tied for my favorite. I like P1 a lot. But yeah, Juggernaut to me, I was listening to it and I was like, I forgot how good this record is. It is truly their best attempt, and I think a successful attempt at a concept record. It's a double album. It's more accessible than Parallax. I stand by the opinion. I know these are fighting words, but I just had to text you out of the blue and be like, hey man, let's fight.
I was just saying, I was so surprised. It's like you picked, in my opinion, Periphery's like one of their most unpopular records of like the canon catalog. And then you picked like the most popular BT BAM record, I think. Like
a firmly top three between the Buried in Me record, just generally, like, from the masses versus a double record that I feel like doesn't, I think it's underrated. Like, I don't think it gets the recognition maybe it deserves in that catalog. But I can't, I would go.
Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, fair enough.
I'm a big Parallax One stan. I think people overlook it because Parallax Two is the full record. And I know that Parallax One is just three songs. It's still like 30 minutes, but like, I think if Parallax One was a full record, I think I would like it more than Parallax Two. And that's my hot take. If it was,
I could honestly agree with that. For a while, I would say Parallax Two was probably like one of my least listened to records in their catalog for some reason. I don't know why. But when I revisited it eventually, which it didn't take long for me to do that because I just love Between the Buried and Me. It sort of grew up my ranks, and it probably is like probably firmly third in my list for them.
I think it's probably third in mine. I go Misdirect, Coma, and then,
fucking
albums.
No Colors.
I don't want to make anyone mad, but I put Colors pretty far down.
Wow.
And that's still high for, like, you know, it's like, it's
they're all their records are good. Yeah. No, I see what you're saying. It's the same thing. Like when I talk about Coheed and I say that, like, You're the Black Rainbow is like low for me, which is sort of the popular thing to say if you're a Coheed fan, I feel like.
That's my least favorite. I'll put Colors of the Sun before You're the Black Rainbow. That's
personal. No, I agree with that as well, but all right, super tangent. I love it though. I love the random conversations that sort of spark out of stuff, so I like that. Were there any other bands that you guys wanted to throw out there as influences? I think we probably covered that pretty well.
I don't know if this is an influence, but shout out to Challenger Deep.
Yeah.
Those are our friends. They're in Atlanta. If you like mathy kind of Strawberry Girls, Loose Lee Chon-esque type stuff.
I think I've listened to them before, and I don't know, but I just wrote that down just to make sure. And if I haven't, I'm going to.
Yeah, so I'm doing that right now too.
We did a song with them.
Oh, I just saw that. Yeah. What was that situation? What was the process with that?
I ran into them. So they've been friends of ours for a while. We've played some shows together because they're in Atlanta, which is not too far from where we live. And I ran into them at the Contortionist and Rivers of Nile show. And side note, they're all like 6'4 and 6'5, and I am also 6'5. So like five dudes in a row of standing that are 6'5. I was like, people behind us are like not stoked. So sorry to anyone who is behind us. But we got to talking, and they had just done they're instrumental, but they had just done a vocal feature with the vocalist of the band Seder, which is also an Atlanta band.
Love Seder. Love Seder.
Those guys rock. And so I was just like, hey, you guys, because they had sent me the mixes of it because we were talking about it and they hadn't released it. And I was like, when's that coming out? And they were like, pretty soon. And I was like, do you guys have any more like vocal versions lined up? And they were like, well, we've had some people like say they're interested, but no one's actually like done anything. And again, I can be a little brazen. Sometimes it's like, I'll sing on a song. And they were like, all right, like, sure, you want to try, like send us a demo. So I went home after the concert, and like the whole way home I just listened to the song on repeat and kind of got an idea for it, and I woke up the next day and recorded the demo for it, and they were like, yep, we like it, let's record it. And it worked out well because I was going to record vocals for Empire Springs in a couple weeks, so I just tacked on an extra vocal day to those sessions with John, and they thankfully we record in Atlanta, so it was all very, very convenient. They came over to the studio, and basically I thought they were going to have a lot more to say about like you know, like producing, because this is their song. I was going to let them just like whatever they say goes, but they pretty much just let me sing. And I think there was like one vocal take that I liked that they didn't, and I was like, all right, well, I can just redo it, I can do it again. So it was not a big deal. And then everything else was super chill. So they're great, awesome. great friends, easy to work with, write cool music.
That's cool. Definitely need to check them out.
And you sort of just started. I mean, I feel like this is a good question that I didn't have written down, but I feel like it's a good one. The music scene in general in like the greater Atlanta region. I know a lot of bands that go down there that often say that that was their favorite show of the tour, stuff like that. Can you talk a little bit about sort of the scene down there? Maybe some other bands that maybe you want to mention from the area or anything like that?
Yeah, so we technically live in Birmingham, Alabama, which is like 2.5 from Atlanta, but we've played there.
Or even just Birmingham, Alabama in general, maybe.
Yeah, so I would say, I mean, I gotta shout out our homies. We have good friends in the band Made Desolate, post metal band from Birmingham where we live. Boss Jasmine, cool math rock band. Those are people we play with a lot. Birmingham is a big hardcore scene, and it's really into like just straight ahead hardcore, you know, which isn't really our thing 100%, but they've been kind to us, and we played with some hardcore bands, and we did have some people mosh in our I was like, wow, look at these people, they're actually treating us like one of the fold. If you're talking about Atlanta, you know, I'm gonna talk about Seder and Challenger Deep. Those are my bands. Cascadent's a cool band, or maybe it's Cascadent. I don't know how to say it because I've never met those guys. But I feel like there's a lot of like really cool small bands in the Southeast in general. We've met these guys called Lions in the Sky from Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, they're killer. And Crusade too.
Yeah, Crusade from Nashville, Tennessee as well. There's like, I feel like there's a lot of cool like progressive or progressively influenced bands. Like if you like Coheed, definitely check out Lions in the Sky. They're, you know, pretty small, like us, like they don't have a huge following, but those guys is, I mean, they were crazy,
but really sharp. Yeah. And their vocalist is, they're all insane, but their vocalist definitely has Claudio influence.
Yeah, it's ridiculous how on point they were live. I was blown away.
But so, generally, the Southeast isn't super crazy about progressive metal.
Yeah, I'm always,
but it is a little difficult at times putting together like an extensive tour.
Oh, there's a new one actually. A new band just popped up. Jack the Elbow. They're also very Coheed influenced. I don't think they've released any music yet, but they're working on it. Got to give them a shout out because they've been nice to us.
Giving me a lot of homework here.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to play.
No, that's good. I like that. I love discovering new music. That's really honestly the reason we started this podcast. I feel like is, you know, in our general area, like our friend group, stuff like that, we don't have a lot of people who share those interests, you know, the progressive metal in general, heavy music, like maybe.
Yeah, we're like the weird nerdy people that are like, oh, you and your screamy music.
And like, so, you know, he and I, Matt and I would just back and forth, everyone, we discover a band, we text it, you know, oh, check these guys out, and back and forth or whatever. And we were like, you know what, let's just, Matt had wanted to start a podcast about like video games and stuff like that, which I don't play a lot of video games anymore. So, and we both kind of just wanted an outlet to do something. And we were like, we love discovering new music. We love bullshitting about music. Let's start a podcast and just throw it out into the ether. And the three people that listen to us, you know, maybe they'll send us some bands to listen to. And now we have listeners in like 30 countries. So that's pretty cool.
You got a great name too. Progressive.
Thank you.
It's very niche, but it works.
Yeah. And it's,
we were a little like hesitant at first. Cause like, are we going to put ourselves in too much of a niche where we're like talking specifically about prog? But I mean, we like let ourselves out of the box, you know, but we do just like focus on prog. So
yeah, we try to say basically, you know, we're just a heavy music / progressive music podcast. We like to talk about anything. I mean, we've talked about like Phoebe Bridgers and like we've talked about like non-metal things too, so it's, you know, we Taylor Swift, you know, whatever, but
I don't think the world right now
doesn't get much more metal than Taylor Swift, but let's talk about your full-length record a little bit. Let's actually start talking about some music. So what was the writing process like for you with that? Is there a concept to the record as well? Because I'm curious about that as well.
There is a concept to the record. Originally, I think it was, so how do I even start? I wrote like a short story I was really inspired by a band called Falling Up. I don't know if you would have heard of, do you know Falling Up?
I have heard them before, yeah.
It's crazy. They have a like multiple album. It's like Coheed style. They got like a multiple album installment.
So I think how I heard about them, just to sort of expand on that, was through somebody in one of the like Coheed fan groups. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Because they started off like Christian nu metal, like the Christian Linkin Park. And I'm not super into that, but when they dropped all that and started doing the like sci-fi rock stuff, I got really into that. That record is called Fangs with an exclamation point. Probably my favorite album of all time. But anyways, that was a tangent. And he doesn't do comics like Claudio does. He wrote like a little novella about one of the records, and I thought that was a cool idea. So I wrote a short story, very sci-fi oriented. I wouldn't say, like, I'm not really a writer, so I can't really speak on its credibility as a piece of work, but it was enough to like influence the overall trajectory of the record and like I think what a lot of the songs were going to be about, and kind of give us like a literal arc to work on. And then we kind of built the songs around that. And I had some songs written kind of already. And that record was very different for us because we worked on it a lot live. Like we played most of those songs live for a long time. Like we played the singles, like This Place in Galatia specifically. We played those live for like 2 years before we even recorded it. So they shifted a lot. They shifted a lot in the, you know, when you play stuff live enough, it starts to little things will happen. People will put their influence on it. Drawing Lines was an old song that we had brought back. It used to be called Seven because it's in 7/8. And I thought I was so clever when I was 19 years old and wrote that. But anyways, I just discovered odd time signatures. But
the story that you wrote, is it available anywhere as like a...
I've tried really hard to make sure that it's not.
So there's no.
Because even I made it, I recorded myself and made an audiobook. I just read the story. And I posted that. It's probably available if you look really hard, but I've tried so hard to scrub that from the internet. Because I think the story works better if you get to interpret it just from the songs. And I think I'll speak vaguely about it. It was a sci-fi, how original. It was a sci-fi concept album about what happens when the sun burns out, which is dramatic as hell. But am I allowed to say that? I guess
I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, no, you're good.
But yeah, it's very dramatic, and I should have asked for it anyways.
Oh, no, you're good. Don't worry. Pretty sure I've dropped some worse words.
Some spicier words.
Episode, so.
Dude, you said hell, man. Like, I think it's where I'm going.
So, but yeah, so like the sun burned out, and the people of Earth had to move underground. Which doesn't make a lot of sense now that I say it out loud. I think you're the one that pointed that you were like, if the sun burned out, everyone would just die. But anyways.
It's sci-fi.
It's a love story.
Yeah, it ends up being a love story, but
right.
Not really like a romantic love story. It's like a...
paternal.
Yeah, it's a paternal love story.
Like The Last of Us.
It's actually really similar to The Last of Us, yeah. But so basically... through a lot of crazy events, the main character ends up having to take care of this effectively alien, I guess you could say. Maybe like a demigod of sorts.
I don't know.
Like, you're the author. Don't look at me.
Alien / demigod that is the Luminescence. And she, you know. I'm not going to go any
further. I mean, that sounds cool. So just to throw this out there too, you had mentioned, you know, it works better if people just interpret the music however they want to interpret it versus having a story. I feel like Coheed and Cambria is evidence enough that people don't really give a shit about the story that much. Because I mean, if you've read Amory Wars, it's not the best writing, especially the early stuff. Yeah. I mean, and people don't really care about the, I mean, people care. I mean, Coheed fans care. But like, as far as the story goes, they interpret that stuff the way they want to interpret it anyways. I mean, these songs are like songs about like really questionable subject matter are people's wedding songs. So I'm just throwing that out there. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's definitely something that they both could be, you know, like both could exist. So, you know, I'm looking forward to the paperback, hardback copies whenever those get released. And looking forward to checking that out.
Open up the a Patreon, make a tier, you know.
Well, I think similar, I've listened to Claudio talk a lot on interviews about how he tends to write from a personal place first, and then he kind of works that into the story and works the story around. That's kind of what the record was. A lot of the, when the songs are interpersonal, most of the songs are about relationships. They're about, and not even like, again, not romantic, but just like interactions between people, how we communicate, how we experience collective, you know, loss, like different emotions
and grief.
Yeah. And so the songs are about that primarily. And then I just worked the story around that. And originally I think Luminescence was supposed to be, if I remember, it was going to be a two-part record. There's going to be, it wasn't going to be called Luminescence 2, but it was going to continue the story. So it technically ends on a cliffhanger, but I don't, we have not revisited that thread since. The new songs are not in the Luminescence extended universe.
Well, we're going to have to, that just means album 3, you know, we gotta come back to that, right?
Yeah, you can go BT Bam style and do the colors, you know, the colors like too. Years,
right?
Yeah.
You got time. You got time. You can space that out pretty good, I guess. So were there any influences specific to this record? Like when you sat down to make this record, were you like, this is the type of record I want to make? Or was it more of like you each brought, or everybody brought something to the table and then you wrote around stuff that was already written? Like, I'm just curious what.
Yeah, was it like a riff salad that became a full album or?
So I think there were definitely like 4 songs that were the foundation. We had This Place, Galatia, Drawing Lines, and then the title track, Luminescence. And they were pretty set. Transit, maybe 2, maybe 5. 5 like set songs. And Narrow had written some stuff. He wrote Chasing Light and Apostasy, the instrumentals. And I think from there, we were like, let's talk about how we want the arc of the record to be. You know, we want it to start and end with the same riff, kind of bookended. So we knew that we wanted to start with his song, Chasing Light. And from there, it was kind of just a matter of, I don't want to say filling in the gaps, but like we've both listened to so much music and so many records and have like analyzed like how they have flowed.
The sine wave of how the story progresses, where the intensity lies, how it ends.
So we need like, you know, it's like, I need to write like a chill song for this part and that kind of stuff. And then from there, kind of realized pretty early the record was going to like touch on a lot of different like styles within the progressive rock world. Like Transit is very contortionisty. It's very synth heavy, very kind of straight. Like, I would consider the contortionist like pop prog metal, if that makes sense. Like clairvoyant era.
Clairvoyant especially, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. And it's funny, for Transit, I even wrote down like strong contortionist vibes, even in the vocal performance. Like it crossed the board. I felt very like that song was very much a contortionist song style wise. Still have your own flavor to it. Like, I don't want this to sound like you guys are a carbon copy of the contortionist.
That's good to hear.
I just wanted to throw that out there. I don't want people to think that I feel like or that you guys are just copy paste contortionists, because that's not the case.
Some people have said that about us on reviews, that they've been less than kind about it, but I don't take it too per. I mean, it's
they take it as a compliment.
It's like, I'm like, wow, I sound like my favorite band. Tough. our keyboardist, who's not with us today, another friend of mine from school, he was in the original band that broke up, that started Springs. He is a like big classical guy. He, you know, has a degree in piano performance and stuff. We met in specifically music school, I guess I didn't clarify. But So we wanted to kind of lean on that because he's big into orchestral music. And like, so I gave him the task of writing the first half of, or I guess it became Interlude, the first, the beginning piece of Luminescence, and then the back half of Khan. And originally Khan was it's just going to end just orchestrally. It started off and it's kind of like a chill Tool song, like the Ride of Two or something. And then it kind of, piano comes in, frilly stuff, and it developed into this orchestral thing. And that was how the song was going to end. And then I was kind of like, well, what if we went like full on Muse and like, you know, really dramatic, big,
yeah,
like guitar stuff came in over that. So it kind of, that record feels very much like everybody's influences came together in different ways. But because of that, I do feel like it's a little less cohesive because it's, you've got this techie shred instrumental stuff. You've got the like contortionist pop style stuff. You've got the like old school prog, like, and I think that's really fun. But I think we tried something very different with the new stuff. But for that record specifically, it does feel very much like there's moments I'm like, this is definitely something that Chadwick wrote. I remember that feels like this is definitely something Nara wrote. Yeah. This is definitely something I wrote. And so it's like, I think there's definitely like a, that can be viewed as a good or a bad thing. Like people, we got flagged also for not being consistent enough. Like, you know, some people told us like, the difference between like Apostasy and Transit or Chasing Light and This Place was like a little jarring for them. But I felt like that was a strong point of the record, was how diverse it was. Cause you feel like I feel like when I listen to it, which I don't listen to it much, but I go through a lot of different, I like to be taken different places on a record, but I guess I could see how it doesn't have as much of a voice as some people might want. But I thought that was a cool part of the record personally.
I think we set out to write a concept record for our first release. We certainly wanted to have repeating themes, not only just vocal, but instrumental. We wanted to have this classically influenced album. And like Brett's just said, we are experimenting with something different on the next release. So yeah, I'm proud of it for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I don't want to, I feel like I spoke negatively about it, but that wasn't the point. I did not mean to come across that way.
I think it's cool. Like, I like that it changes throughout the course. Like, it does feel very story-esque. Like, you are going on a journey and it has, you know, it's like crescendos. And like, I think like the interlude is, it like kind of slows things down, but it's like really pretty, but also sort of like haunting feeling at the same time. But it like kind of like ramps it down a little bit. And it's, you know, like the kind of sort of the resolution towards the end of the album, but it's like also kind of makes you feel like uneasy of like sad and stuff. And I like the journey that the album takes you on.
Appreciate that.
I also feel like it's worth noting too, like you guys are saying, okay, well, people were maybe down on it for those reasons, but I feel like those are like style changes and tempo changes and all this different stuff is sort of quintessential to a progressive album. So it's like, it's weird to me that would be marked as like a negative when that's like almost partially what defines the genre that you guys are trying to play in. So that's weird to me. Yes. That was a thing.
Exactly. On the other side of that coin though, I mean, we should also mention like the people who find our music and like it are like die hard for some reason. Like we have a healthy fan base.
I feel like it's whenever, for that record, whenever we tried to cross into not prog territory, that was when we would get flagged with that kind of stuff. But I feel like the prog, people who like prog got it. Like they understood it pretty immediately. But again,
how many of our favorite prog bands, anybody who's a prog fan, have sort of crossed that line? You know what I mean? Like, that's weird to me. Yeah. So yeah, as people who listen to progressive music a lot, we definitely get it. And I think it,
yeah,
I mean, that's what made it stand out to me in a way. So
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, appreciate that. It was just funny that, Birmingham is a big like hardcore scene, and we, you know, we're constantly getting like you're not heavy enough. You're too heavy. So
We definitely are in that space of like post progressive metal, and we're trying to cross that boundary into pop rock. So it is an uncomfortable place, but
yeah, that is kind of like you get the people that are into rock and don't want like screaming and like heavier stuff. So they're like, oh, you're too heavy. But then the people that are like the metal heads are like, oh, you're a little too soft. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of like that weird niche. But I think like bands need to be in that niche. Like it's, you know, it should exist. And I think just like listen to music for the sake of being heavy is just like, I mean, you should listen to music because it sounds good and it tells a cool story and stuff.
There's a time and a place. And I mean, like realistically, we write music that we like, you know, like we are proud of the songs and it's like exactly in line with the vision. So if certain people don't connect with it, that's fine with me. And the people that do connect with it, it'll be more meaningful because it's 100% like what we want it to be.
Yeah, I think that's important. Just because if you're going to be, you know, playing shows and playing the songs over and over again, it's got to be something that you like, that you're not doing it for others, because then it's kind of like there's not really passion in it. You're just like, oh, we're here playing stuff for you guys. We don't really like it, but...
Absolutely, yeah.
And I mean, I feel like I saw, so like Prague Magazine did a write-up about that record, and I think you maybe even released your first single through Prague Magazine. Some other outlets sort of put you guys in a category of like up and coming like bands and things like that. So, I mean, I've seen some good stuff. What was it like sort of seeing like the positive recognition and things like that? Like, how did that like impact you guys? Obviously, I'm sure it made you want to keep going, maybe helped counter some of the maybe negative reviews, stuff like that. Yeah. But I've personally not seen any negative ones. So I feel like
we've given a little too much.
Like I've overstated. Yeah. We didn't get that many negative. Yeah.
Really, I mean,
it's just funny. But yeah, we got a lot of people were very nice. It is kind of always like it's like, I don't want to say it's surprising, but I'm always like, really? Like, you like it? That's correct. That's awesome. Like,
and to speak on what you said, yes, it was very validating. It of course made us want to continue this project and create more music. So but even then, like I feel like we were gonna do it anyway.
Yeah.
We're very interested at this point anyway.
It is nice that like to feel, I don't know, like to feel like people do want to hear it. Because with the record we had no idea. It was like we threw in the ether and we were like, let's see what happens. And so it was it's definitely validating in a lot of ways. It's weird where it comes from sometimes. Like I recently got into TikTok like in the past year or two, and I'll get TikTok messages from people being like, oh, like I really like connected with your band, and like these are my favorite bands and you can remind me of them. And it's always like it'll hit me in random ways like that where it's always surprising, but it's very cool to connect with people who like the same kind of music. Because again, like Birmingham, Alabama doesn't have like the biggest progressive metal. So I don't know where it has a big progressive metal scene, but it's definitely not Birmingham.
Yeah,
Europe. That's it. They're all over.
So it's just been a lot of fun in that way. I really do enjoy that side of it. I'm very into community and the communal aspect of things, specifically art. That's why another big reason I like Coheed so much is there's a community around it. So it's always fun when that gets to be around our stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's awesome.
You gotta release that that book.
That's right.
I'll definitely have to
Release some more music first.
Yeah.
That's good too.
So let's talk about some new music. So you guys have something in the works. What do you want to divulge on that? I want to hear what you want to say about it. Go for it.
Maybe not all of it.
So there are, it's not an album. It is going to be 6 songs. One is a cover.
Which will remain nameless.
Okay. Then, yeah. I won't say
what the cover is. So we'll take that offline. You guys can, no, I'm just kidding.
But it's 5 originals, 1 cover. And I feel like for this release, one, it was written at a very different time, like for where we are as people. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a little, people always talk about how they get more mature with their music, but it does feel more mature. Like the songs all feel way stronger in my opinion. And it was a very different process. I'm wording this poorly, but so with the album, like I said, we played these songs live a lot, and it was like an organic build in that way. Like some of the songs came together. Like I think there was only one song that we haven't played, two songs that we haven't played live on the record, Protector and Con. Yeah. And only, so everything else we've played live at least a couple times. I positively played one.
Once.
Yeah. But this one, it was a very remote process. I wrote all the songs, like the skeletons of them, and then Nero would come over and give points on like some of the like guitar lines, and he changed them a lot in the moment when it came to record. But all the guitar solos obviously were him as well. But it was like the foundation of the songs didn't change a whole lot. The big exception is Arrival. Arrival was Nero's song, right?
For the most part. I mean, you certainly added a lot to it. But yeah, Arrival was one that I...
Oh, and then the back half of Apollo, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. It's always a collaborative process, but I think with this one, I think what's... It's important to say that Brett was the principal writer at first.
Yeah, that, but I mean, like, whatever.
But I mean, it matters. It's cohesive. It's good.
And because of that, I feel like these are way more... focused songs. And what I thought was really interesting is we didn't play any of them live together at all in the room, like either even in a practice, definitely not at a show. And so Ethan, our drummer, lives in Tennessee now, so we weren't able to practice these songs with him. So there's a lot of trust that we built up. And I remember, like, we track in such a backwards order. We did the same thing for the record, and it works for us, but it's like other people hear this and they're like, that's crazy. But we do vocals first. Yeah, everyone's always like, really? So I'll do vocals first, and then we'll do traditional drums next, and then always guitars, and then bass is last. So it's,
now when you're doing vocals first, are you doing it to like a click, or are you doing it to
I do it over the program.
So, I was like, well, that's an interesting, I've never heard of anybody doing that, so I was just curious.
Yeah, no, I definitely don't write that order. I write from the guitar and then build everything around it. But when it comes time to get the final takes, the demos are so solidified that I feel 100% confident. And then it's fun because Ethan can kind of bounce things off the vocals. Like, especially these songs are very vocal forward, I feel like. Very, in that regard, pop oriented as well. Like, definitely tried to focus on like writing melodies that were memorable and fun in that way. And but it's always for these songs, it was this big, like, again, like trust exercise, because I had not heard our drummer Ethan play these songs at all. He hadn't sent me recordings of him playing it. We hadn't practiced as a band or whatever. And so he showed up to record, and I wasn't even there the first day. So like I walked in, I so vividly remember like parking at John's house, the guy we recorded with. And I walked in, and they had already tracked two of the six songs, yeah, like completely without me. And we were on kind of a tight schedule. So I was like, you know, if I don't like it, I'm just going to have to like stomach it. And like, because we don't have time to go back and do this again. So I walk in, and they just wrapped comping the different takes together to get the take they like. And I was like, all right, let me hear a song. And it was like listening to a song that I had written like for the first time, because Ethan had like hearing someone else's influence on it. And I was like, at that moment, like all of my like anxieties about it were completely dissipated, and the whole process from there was just fun, like hearing everyone else's voice. Like I remember hearing your guitars for the first time, and I was like, that's like the changes you made and the stuff that you added and the stuff you wrote for, it's just like perfect. Like everyone like 100% got the vision this time. And it was, even though it was so much less hands-on collaborative, it was way more collaborative in the sense that like I feel like everyone had way more ownership of their parts, and it worked really, really well. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and then also stylistically, we've already mentioned it, it is a different direction, and it's, the guitars are heavier, they're more forward, we have some more like almost Thornhill or Spirit Box moments. It's even more accessible than the first record, and Yeah, it's rare. I think it's a stronger release in total.
I think it's rare that you can say it's heavier and more accessible. I like that.
Yeah.
I want to say it's like less proggy. The proggy moments are there, but it's almost got more like metalcore to it, like more sleep to it. And
for sure.
I mean, that makes sense with what I was listening to and what, you know, what kind of the vision was, but there's definitely a lot of like shreddy stuff still. I feel like the moments that are proggy are way proggier. Like there's some stuff there's some really goofy, hard to play stuff.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, I think that's kind of what I've been really into lately is like, let's let the stuff that's supposed to like the chill, like ambient accessible stuff be really accessible. Let's make the heavy stuff really heavy, like really slam when we need to. And let's make the proggy stuff really proggy.
Like turn each section to 11 kind
exactly,
of. Like,
yeah, that was the goal. And I'm really, I don't know. Everyone always talks about how they feel like it's like an improvement when they release, when they're talking about new music, but it does feel like a healthy step forward in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. Agreed.
But in terms of timetable, I have no idea. I didn't know if that question was coming up, but
that was definitely going to be the next question.
everything is done. We're in the mixing phase. And hopefully, I mean, I think since they are all, I don't know. This is kind of like a not cool thing to say for some people, but they're all singles. Like they're all meant to be individual songs. That's like not conceptual at all. So I think we're going to try releasing them as singles and see. Sleep Token did it and it worked great for
Spirit,
them.
Spirit Box did that forever. Sleep Token did that. I mean, that seems to be a very popular way to release music now, is just sort of release each piece as a single, and then once it's done, here's the collective work.
Yeah, I think that's the goal. And I'm also, I can't talk about it apparently, but I'm also really proud of the cover. It's one of my favorite bands, has not been talked about at all on the podcast yet. But it was a lot of fun to put our spin on, in my opinion, such a classic song.
A lot of people, when they do covers, try to like, there's usually two camps, right? There's usually the, let's try to do this song as much justice as possible and try to almost make a one-to-one cover with our own, you know, whatever. And then the other one is, let's take a song that was written this way and put a not ridiculous, but let's put our own twist on it. Let's almost make it our own song. Are you able to divulge if you which direction you tried to go in with it?
What's the difference?
Yeah, it's because, really okay. It's a faithful recreation, yeah. But
I like to view it as like the song starts off exactly like, I mean, like almost one-to-one. And then the farther you go through the song, you're like, the more our influence starts to come out. And
oh, that's cool.
Even the parts that are one-to-one, we modernize them. Like it's, the guitar tones are very us all the way through, but like, I'm really into like tight rhythmic stuff. So it's an older song, and I feel like in old rock music, they didn't really care about like tight rhythms quite as much. It, you know, it's like not part of not a stylistic thing that would happen in prog as much. So there's some moments where we added some like stabs or some accent hits that there aren't in the recording. And then I feel like that's the first turning point. You get those stabs and then it's like, okay, now we're into like Empire Springs territory. And then it all comes back at the end and it's like kind of back to the year. So that's how I viewed it when I was trying to arrange it. And I feel like that's kind of what ended up happening. So
I can't wait to hear what it is. I'm real excited to hear. Yeah. I know, because like Contortionist did that cover of like 1979, which was like, I felt like they were in Camp A, where it's like, let's try to essentially make a version of the song that sounds almost like the original version of the song. But some of my favorite covers of all time, which they're not covering classical bands, they're covering each other's music. And that's when the Deer Hunter and BT Bam did that split.
Yeah. That. Like, rock. Where
they each just made those songs essentially like it was their song.
If you didn't, yeah, If you didn't know the Tank, you would think Between the Buried and Me recorded the Tank, and vice versa. Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, it's just like it. It sounds. It's so. I love that. That's like the coolest thing ever to me.
Yeah, I freaking loved when that was announced, and then like that was the reason why I bought VIP for that show, because I was like, that's the only way I'm gonna get that 7-inch. I need that split. Like
I don't have. I wasn't a fan of either of those bands when they did it, and I've come into liking both of them so much later, and found that because it was hard to find. It's like it was on YouTube for a while, and then
because they didn't release a digital version or anything like that. It was literally the whole thing was this is the only way that you're gonna get it. But people ripped it. It was gonna happen eventually.
I was like so into both of those bands, and then I found out they covered each other, and I was like, this is bizarro world, but it totally works. Like you would never think they could do it, but they're both so talented.
Oh yeah.
Casey Crescenzo is probably like my favorite modern like rock arranger. Just the way he approaches songwriting and song arrangement. He actually produced that album that I was talking about by Falling Up Fangs.
Oh, that's awesome.
I feel like that's why that's their strongest record. Because his touch is on it, I feel like, a little bit.
What'd you think of Antimony?
Okay.
The right response.
Now I'm gonna reveal how much of a Fairweather fan I am. Despite it's again,
I think you're gonna react the same way that I feel like I reacted to that record. But I want to hear it from you though.
I am really into the acts, and that is about where I stop with the Deer Hunter. And I know that's like not cool to say for some people, because there is cool stuff. Like I've listened to some of the Color Spectrum and some of like Migrant, I think, and I'll listen to whatever he puts out, but nothing has ever grabbed me like Act 5 and Act 4. I don't know why.
Act 3 in there too. Tank, Mustard Gas, like there's a lot of good songs on that, but yeah, Act 4 and Act 5, I often am juggling which one of those is my favorite Deer Hunter record. But I thought the Antimony was cool for what it was. I feel like it was one of those things where it was like an art piece where it's like you listen to it once, you appreciate what it was, and kind of move on. Like that's how I felt with that record.
Yeah, it's not like a put it on your rotation weekly. Like you listen to it every once in a while. Of like, oh, I haven't listened to it in a while. I'll check back and give it another playthrough. But it's like not all the time kind of thing.
Still a cool record, but I was just curious.
I never want to sound like I'm dismissive of any of these bands, of their work. But like, if I'm being honest, like they didn't resonate with me the same way that the Axe did. But I mean, you know, that's the
still
same
it thing. Was like a well composed piece of music, and instrumentally everything is sound. And I mean, those guys are masters at what they do. It's just personally, I didn't super connect with it as much as the Axe.
Yeah, they kind of delved more into like the funk realm of stuff with that album. So like if you're not really into funk, then that kind of wouldn't vibe with you as much as like the Axe, where just kind of like straight prog rock.
Yeah. And he'll do that a little bit in like Act 4 especially. I feel like there's some moments where he'll get really into that kind of stuff. And like tease funky pop type oriented stuff, but it always comes back to like soundy. So that's what makes it like, because I'm really not into funk or jazz like at all.
That's funny, because didn't you say you started in jazz?
Is it we met? That's how we met.
You played trumpet.
I played trumpet in music school.
Will we get any trumpet in the new record?
Hell no. Now that I know I can say it. But no, I have this like weird, I'm gonna go through this fast because I talk a lot and I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
Hey, that's what we're here for. You're to talk.
So I started playing music in sixth grade, and I played the trumpet. I got all the way through high school, and I was like, I want to go to music school and study music, but I didn't play any other instruments well enough to like audition on them or to confidently audition on them. So I played the trumpet, and I got into college. And then I was locked in. I had all this scholarship writing on the fact that I had to play in all these different ensembles. I had to play in the orchestra and the wind ensemble and the freaking marching band and all this annoying stuff that I didn't care about. And I was certifiably not good at trumpet. And I was good enough to get scholarship and keep it, but I was not good enough to like, I didn't care to be better than that. So like, I was doing all these ensembles, playing the trumpet and like moonlighting at night as like a bass player. And so that's how we met. But I have grown to really not like funk and jazz as I've gotten older. Maybe it's because I associate it with like being forced to play the trumpet.
Yeah, maybe so.
But you like that stuff.
Well, I mean,
a lot.
Like, I think you like the modern fusion groups.
Yeah, like, I love like Pat Metheny and stuff.
And like, yes, obviously Snarky Puppy.
Yeah,
they're, yeah, they're a great group.
I just, yeah, and that's you're Mr. Steely Dan.
Like, oh yeah, I grew up listening to Steely Dan, and like I still will throw on Asia every once in a while, but yeah, you don't really like that kind of stuff, do you?
I jokingly have like a rule that I can't like something that is fun and cool. It can only be one of the two. If it's fun, I can like it. If it's cool, I can like it. But if it's like fun and cool, I'm always like, I don't know.
Like, sounds like a pretty trivial reason to not like music.
It's something I've noticed about myself.
Okay.
It's not like not a rule, self-imposed, but like I don't like the beach. Like I don't like swimming pools. I don't like.
That's true. You don't.
I don't like. Like, if something is fun and cool for most people, I probably don't like.
But what do you do for fun? Because that's your role. Yeah, like, a lot of really awesome things there. What's your ideal vacation then? I mean,
I stay home.
He is a bit of a strange person.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I'm not trying to be like some sort of like weird out there.
Hermit.
Yeah. I like playing video games. I like hanging out with my wife. I like writing songs. I like taking walks.
Long walks not on the beach though.
No, there's a trail right next to my apartment. I like to walk. It's just things that I like aren't like, I like playing Fortnite with my friends. I'm such a nerd. So just like, that's so bad. I'm not even good at Fortnite. I just get on and talk shit on the chat with my friends on Discord.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that.
I don't know.
So anything else you guys want to touch on and as far as the new music goes? I don't necessarily want to pry or anything like that into it anymore. I just, you know, want to give you guys the floor to talk about what you want to talk about in that regard.
There's a song in 13/8.
I have to solo over it, and it's really tough live. But that
sounds
in summary, we're really proud of it. It's a new direction, and I think it's a good step for us.
Any new influences on the new record or in the new EP or whatever we're gonna call it?
Definitely more metalcore.
Yeah, I think we doubled down on the clairvoyant era contortionist.
All right,
and then definitely more Spirit Box, Sleep Token, Thornhill, like just more metalcore, and then some moments again feel techier, like more BT Van.
There's fewer solos.
Yeah, there's less guitar solos.
Yeah, it's more modern.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Wrong with that.
Do you guys have any tours, shows, anything like that you guys have in the works or coming up anytime soon?
We're working on.
Yeah.
Putting some,
we're gonna do some stuff in the winter, probably.
Are you gonna come to Pittsburgh?
That's what I was just gonna ask too.
I would love to.
Yeah,
but, I don't even know where Pittsburgh is on the map. I'm trying to think. I'm not geographically oriented.
Clearly,
we are on the western side of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, like like close to Ohio.
Okay, yeah, I got you. I know where Ohio is.
Yeah, we border. Yeah, we're like right, probably like 45 minutes off the border of Ohio.
Okay, Western, that's not too far from Alabama.
I mean, it's pretty far, but
it's a little far. But you know, I mean, start there, work your way back. Start in Pittsburgh, work your way back. It's fine.
We would love to. But, I mean,
pull up how far this place is.
We got I mean, we got some friends and some local bands around here that you know, maybe we can get something set up there. I don't know.
Yeah,
how
there's
much
a
influence
there's a lot
have,
of different but like size venues too. So like, you know, depending on like the audience draw, they've kind of got something for every like size of band. Some are like further out of the city than others, but they're all pretty convenient and stuff.
Yeah, we'd love to. We're gonna do some more. We've kind of been like just southeast, like Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, and we'd like to branch farther. We had some stuff in the Carolinas that kind of fell through, but we're going to touch back on that. But we've been focusing mostly on getting these new songs done and all of the like back end stuff that no one ever talks about, like trying to plan like music video shoots and trying to plan like, you know, it's been a lot of scheduling and emailing lately, but shows soon. Just nothing that we can talk about on the docket is like officially announced or ready to be announced, but definitely working on that in the very near future, but nothing official yet.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. I mean, we'll definitely, once things are sort of more solidified in that realm, music wise, tour wise, all that stuff, make sure to let us know. I mean, we keep an eye on your stuff too. So if we see anything, we'll obviously share it to our audience as well, but
thank you. I appreciate that.
Of course. Yeah. And anytime you guys absolutely have anything that you want announced, you know, on a broader spectrum, just always feel free to shoot us a message and we'll make sure to get things posted and such on our end as well.
Yeah. Cause sometimes we miss it, like with having full-time jobs and stuff, we don't check every day. So sometimes those stories disappear before we get to see them and we miss out on vital tidbits of band info. So
and I think how busy we get is pretty evident in our timeline on our social media, where it's like some weeks will be real active and then another week the only post we're posting is just our jams of the week post, which we try to make sure we at least post that. But
yeah, and it's so tough doing anything creative or anything that requires like consistency like this, like a passion project or any sort of like thing that you're working on in your personal life and also working full time, because everyone in the band works full time as well. And it's just, we 100% empathize with that.
Yeah, that's got to be tough to try and write music. And it's like, if you're busy with work, then it's like you're kind of drained. And so you like almost don't have the energy to put into the music. And then you're like, I'm just not feeling it, man.
Yeah.
Got to pay the bills, you know?
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. And man, there are bills.
There are.
They don't stop.
But yeah, but thankfully, I think we've all got jobs that we, I don't know. I'm a music teacher. You work in sales. Chadwick used to be a music teacher. I don't know what he's doing right now, actually.
I think he's a barista.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very like musician job, barista.
I did that for so long. I was a barista for 5 years. It's terrible.
Yeah.
If you like it, you like it. But I don't drink coffee. So it was, again, cool and fun. So.
Musician who doesn't like the beach, doesn't like coffee.
What? Like, I don't drink alcohol. I can go down the list. That's a different.
He doesn't like yacht rock, which I can't understand.
Well, I don't like yachts because the beach,
because there's water. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's water and sun involved.
Yeah, exactly, and the sand. Don't forget the sand. And
yeah, the sand.
The sand is definitely everywhere. The worst part. Oh man. So before we sort of wrap up here, do you guys have anything else, any announcements you want to make, anything you guys want to plug here? The floor is kind of yours for that. I feel like we talked about a good bit, but I just you know, want to let you guys have the final word.
I think just the usuals, just if you follow Progressive Gentlemen, which you should, come follow us, check us out, check out our Spotify page, and yeah. Absolutely. Like and subscribe.
Absolutely, the usual. As we sort of try to wrap up, or as we usually wrap up, you know, we're going to post everything that we can, link your socials and stuff on our stories when we're talking about this podcast episode and sort of promoting it. We'll make sure to try to promote you guys and all your socials and such as well. And we'll continue to follow you guys on your journey, obviously. Maybe we'll get you back on here at some point when the new record drops or something like that. Yeah. We can chat again and catch up a little bit. For everyone listening, if you've not listened to Empire Springs, The Luminescence, it's an amazing record. If you've not checked it out, you're doing yourself a disservice. So go check that out. New music on the horizon as well. Hopefully some shows and such.
Pittsburgh on there.
Yeah. With Pittsburgh on the list, of course. but yeah. Thank you guys again for joining us. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having us.
And thanks to everybody for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one. We'll see you.
Thanks.